Yep.
I call this meeting of the Cremona Zoning Board of Appeals to order at 7:35 on November 24th. I guess the first thing we have is the witness. So we can just go right to the
you did.
And we'll move into the deliberations and the five factor balancing test.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. If you have any, you want to have any discussion about it, you can.
I guess for the
record. Through the context.
I was going to say, yeah, I guess for the record, do you want to just go through the five factors and discuss them?
Yeah, we can go through the five factors. As as you've done in the past, it's a balancing test. You're balancing the benefits sought by the applicant by reason of the grant of the variance against any detriment to the health, safety, and welfare of the community that we associate or caused by the variance grant. And that's guided by the five factors that you all well know. The first one is whether an undesirable change will be produced in the character of the neighborhood or detriment to nearby properties will be created by the granting of the variance. And let me just also start before we get into the factors. You know, we've talked about this in the past. This is a really unusual application that's before you in that there was a prior grant of variances. So there's certain, you know, legal principles that apply. And you know, rather than give you full legal advice on the record, suffice to say, I know the applicant has pointed out in his summation, the submittal that he submitted to you at some point, I don't remember exactly when, he cited a case and a couple cases that talk about the res judicata effect of a grant of a prior variance. And I would say that's Court of Appeals law, and I think that's accurate. He's quoting that law accurately. When you have a prior grant, so you have some constraints on you. It's not a straight application of the balancing test that you'd have in most applications. It's got to be guided by the fact that, you know, the applicant has requested, you know, if you recall, the applicant has two plans. He's presented one that's identical to the plan that was that the variances were granted on back in whenever that was. I think that's called the Quattrocci plan that he refers to it as. And he's basically said, look, we're good if you want to grant that plan, but we're proposing an additional plan. That has some tweaks to it that we think is better. So, you know, that's basically his pitch to you, and that was his pitch during the many days of the public hearings. Each time he was explaining the difference between the plans, and I think he's, you know, stating the case that he preferred the plan with some tweaks that moves the house back further from the property line, and that reduces some of the variances sought, and that eliminates the need for the lot coverage variance. What he's saying, if you're not inclined to apply the five factors and the balancing test in favor of that new tweaked plan, that as an alternative, they'd accept to go forward on the old plan, which I think the case law cited would mean you'd be really constrained to grant, unless of course you find that there was a material change in circumstances between the date and the time that the original grant of variances took place and now. Do you have any questions about that as you talk about the five factors and in advance of doing that? Anything you'd like me to help clear up? Okay. I'll just go through the five factors. You all can talk freely about, you know, as much as you want to deliberate. If you want to do that, you know, you can. Sometimes you deliberate now, sometimes you deliberate at the next meeting, or, you know, you direct them to prepare a resolution in between, you know, for your consideration. We can do that too. If you'd like to talk about them, the first factor is whether an undesirable change would be produced in the character of the neighborhood or a detriment to nearby properties will be created by the granting of the variance. How do you all feel about that factor? All things considered.
I'm sorry, yes. As a general principle, if this was a de novo application, I would probably be opposed to it, given the size of the lot. However, being constrained by the case law and other applicable law, and since there was a prior approval, we're faced with a situation where we could either accept the Quattrochi approval plan or take the new and improved plan, which is less, you know, lot coverage, it's further back from the road, and it's not such a major change from the original plan that it changes the nature or character of the original approved resolution. So therefore, just based on a balancing of all these factors, I am in favor of the second plan.
Okay. Anyone?
No.
Okay.
Well, the second plan with the restrictions that for the sewage and the points that need to be added.
Right, that the sewer line has to be approved.
Plus, there are a bunch of other things in there that didn't make
Right.
Building permits.
There were a lot of conditions that I was jotting down notes about during the during the hearing. I can just look at some of them. And a lot of them, it gets a little complicated because there's compliance with different review memos and so forth. But I know that there's like the County Highway Department had a memo, and there's, you know, about four or five of those, I think the applicant would say that they would comply with, and the others are either the Highway Department just acting well beyond its jurisdiction, or they're just comments. But all the substantive things that the County Highway Department asked for, right. I think the applicant agreed that that would be a condition.
Again, I said Bill, but I'd like to see that information laid out.
Yeah.
And made it part of the decision.
Yeah, I think, look, if, again, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Ultimately in favor of, and we'll go through the different factors, and all the five factors as well, but if they all line up, I'll give you some of the, nitty gritty of what the conditions are that I was jotting down, if you're interested. Right, so the County Highway letter, it's got six or seven paragraphs, and I wrote down that, paragraph one is just something that, would be duly noted that the applicant has made no serious efforts to satisfy zoning requirements. I mean, that's, County Highway should be commenting on that. It's the other jurisdiction, but it's no, they're not saying we need to do anything. So that's nothing. Number two is, again, they're making comments like they're the county planning department saying that you need to consider the cumulative effect of overdevelopment, and this is the highway department. So I don't think that's anything that needs to be dealt with, up front. It's not asking for anything in particular. But comments 3, 4, 5, and 7, 3 is that a drainage report shall be prepared for the proposed action. The stormwater runoff analysis shall demonstrate that the proposed development would not increase the peak rate of discharge as it enters the public highway drainage system. I think that's a fair condition. They're requiring that. I think you can make that a condition. Compliance with that would seem reasonable, and I think that the applicant didn't really push back on that. Same thing with number 4, that the proposed stormwater retention basins need to be at least 10 feet away from the highway right-of-way line. I think that's what the highway department wants. It's rational to make that a condition of a grant. You know, number five is all existing utilities and proposed relocations and utility poles need to be identified on the plan. That should be a condition. You know, number seven, I'll skip to that. Any road work permits have to be secured prior to any construction. Of course, that would be a standard, you know, condition. You know, number six of highway says the applicant, it's an odd comment, I've never seen it before. The applicant may have to consider an offer of a gratuitous dedication of private lands for road widening. I mean, you know, that wouldn't be a condition. You can't condition somebody giving away their property, you know, in exchange for, you know, variances. You can't, I don't think you're allowed by law to do that. So that would be duly noted. So I would say conditions would be compliance with numbers 3, 5, and 7 of County Highway. That would be one condition, right? You know, one is, you know, the applicant.
What did you get? What is six again?
Six is just an odd one. It says that the applicant may have to consider an offer of gratuitous dedication of private lands that would require for road widening and drainage improvement purposes to the county for inclusion in the county highway system. I mean, they're saying that they may have to consider that. I mean, that's not even a requirement. Right?
Yeah, it's a county road, but not a highway.
They're not even requiring something, so you can't condition something on saying on something like this. I think that should be duly noted, but it doesn't seem to be an appropriate condition, right? Requiring somebody else that they may have to consider in the future giving away some of their property to the county, it doesn't seem appropriate to me. But that's County Highway's letter, right? So another condition in my notes would be the pervious pavers. They had committed to redo the driveway with pervious pavers, and that was going to bring down that lot coverage so that they don't even need a variance. So that would be a condition. You know, there's a lot of talk about the sanitary sewer. Hooking into the sanitary sewer, the municipal sewer, as an express condition, you know, no septic, right? They don't get to build unless they hook into the sanitary sewer. That was a big issue. You can make that a condition. I think the applicant, you know, conceded that that would be an appropriate condition as well. Martin Spence's memo, his latest memo, September 17th, he's got comments S1 through S8. I don't recall them all as I'm sitting here, but typically you'd make, you know, the grant subject to compliance with all of Martin's comments.
They're in my meeting when it's...
Second?
They're in my meeting when it's okay. One of them.
So they're all in there, but I would say that would be typical. All of Martin's comments in his review memo. And then there was another submission made by the applicant, a supplemental submission in August, on August 23rd, 2024. And he committed to all sorts of things on behalf of the applicant, one of which was numbers 1 and 2 were any abandoned septic systems or fuel oil tanks that, if any are found, you know, they don't see any that are there, but if they're already found, they'd have to be removed and remediated, right? Eliminated the satisfaction of the building inspector and the village engineer. So those are two additional conditions that, you know, any of those things found, that they'd have to deal with them, and that would be part of the resolution. Another one was the sanitary sewer, right? No single-family home can be constructed on the site unless approvals obtained from the Joint Regional Sewer Board, mm-hmm. right? And they committed to that they'd make that a condition of the approval. We talked about that already. For stormwater, there's two additional, one is the pervious pavers they committed to, and one is that footing drains and roof leaders will be conveyed to a dry well via the swale and retained to prevent surface water runoff on the site. And, you know, all their stormwater would be made subject to the review and approval of the village engineer. So that would all be embedded in the conditions. You know, you'd also have to deal with the county planning letter, right? It's maybe not necessarily, I mean, sort of as a conditions, but also some of them would require an override, which would require a super majority, which would, for this board, would be, you know, 4 out of 5. The first one is the one that we see over and over again from county planning, which is, you know, they have their typical comment that permitting overdevelopment, they have countywide impacts, and I won't quote the whole thing, but you've seen that every other municipality and every other applicant in the county has seen this same paragraph. You know, sometimes they just say you have to consider these. This one goes on to say it recommends a denial based upon this consideration. So that would require an override. And the applicant has made the case this is sort of a boilerplate comment these days from the county. It doesn't really match up to this project. It doesn't recognize what we've already talked about, that there's a prior grant of the variances and so forth here that's constraining. So that would require an override. Number two, the applicant's requested an override, but I think it's been complied with. It just says the town of Haverstraw has to be given the opportunity to review. But the GML review went to the town of Haverstraw.
They never commented.
That's been complied with.
Yeah.
And no response is looked at as a response?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there's no response within 30 days, you're free to act as though they didn't object.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's been complied with. County planning says a review must be completed by County Highway Department. It was completed, and we've just talked about that. County Health for a compliance with the mosquito control. That can be made a condition. They'll comply with that. If County Health didn't already look at it, I would think that they did. I didn't see it in the file. They've got to do that as a matter of course anyway. The next one is they point out that there was a discrepancy in the tables, and the applicant has pointed out that they've been corrected and the 20% is correct, so that's been complied with. Number six is, has to do with the dedicated street line on the plan, and the applicant has complied with that. And then the rest are just comments that are, their comments are not requirements. Do we know it? You have to comply with the law and other things. So I think that's it. That's it in terms of what I would have for conditions, and we can embed all of those in there. Anybody have any questions about any of those or any additional conditions? And then we should continue on and just finish up and go through the rest of the factors real quick.
Yeah, I'd just like to, if it's possible, here a document with those conditions in there for us to vote on.
This board has proceeded, and there's multiple ways to proceed when it comes to getting to the written resolution.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. One way is sometimes you guys have voted and then voted to, and you've actually voted on it and then directed me to prepare the resolution and then authorize the chairman to sign. That's mm-hmm. one. Sometimes you've done it this way, where you've talked about it, and then you take a vote, and then direct me to prepare a resolution. Maybe you don't even vote; you vote on the resolution at the next meeting once you've had a chance to look at it. Sometimes you've deliberated and gotten legal advice, and you've asked me to just prepare a resolution or to give you advice, and you give me feedback, and then I simply prepare one for your consideration between meetings. And then you look at it at the next meeting, and all of you look at it, and if you find it to be in order, then you vote on it. These are all different ways that you proceeded, and they're all valid and no problem.
I'm just saying this because there's a lot in here.
There is.
Some of the other ones that we've seen.
Yeah, this is like that. Usually there's like, three conditions, and they're pretty straightforward, and we can all agree. I've got a lot of notes here, so I think that would be fair. So what we could do is, let's finish going through the five factors. And then you give me a straw poll, I think it'll be evident, and then give me a direction to go draft, and then I'll draft and come back with a written resolution for the next meeting. Okay. In regard to the rest of the factors, is there a feasible alternative for the applicant to achieve the same benefits sought?
They're on a tiny lot. Pre-existing condition.
Right, okay. And is the requested area variance substantial? Area variances, I should say. Are they substantial?
Only the lot coverage, but that has to
When the lot coverage came down below.
It did.
Yeah. They don't need a variance for lot coverage any longer because of the work that they did to remove, or that they're proposing to remove the driveway and replace it with pervious pavement.
But in the documents you prepared, did you actually put that?
100% I will.
Okay.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the variance for the actual lot size is significant, but once again, we're constrained by the prior granting of the variance by the earlier board.
Okay. Next is whether there'd be any adverse impact on the physical or environmental conditions in the neighborhood or district.
To improve conditions, especially the flooding conditions that people complain about already, if those other things, all these other conditions are met, especially with respect to water flow.
Based on the conditions that you impose, and with all the stormwater and the sewer and the runoff and so forth. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, and then last is whether there's less difficulty to self-create.
Yeah.
No.
No, it looks like.
Well, it's kind of yes and no. Right? Lot size. They can't do anything about the lot size. Right. In terms of that, like some of the other variances, I think the answer would probably be yes. But you know, that's not on an area variance. It's not determinative. So if you know, on any of like any of these, you don't think any of the, you know, I understand. I've got a good record on it. Okay. So straw poll without a vote. It sounds like everything's lining up in favor of a grant based upon those conditions.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'll draft in advance of the next meeting, and I'll come. I'll circulate something to you between the meetings.
Okay. We'll vote on the resolution. Do we need a motion to direct you to?
You can't hurt. You don't need one. You don't need one, but you can. You know, want to direct me to prepare a resolution.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. All in favor of the motion to direct the village attorney to prepare a resolution granting the applicant's
a resolution. It would be a resolution for your consideration, right? Because we're not voting on anything. You're voting on the resolution when the resolution comes.
Right.
So you're directing. The motion is to direct me to prepare a resolution for your consideration. Yeah. So.
I just want to double check because Kevin said he wanted to make a motion, but then it sounded like you made a motion, and then Bill seconded it. Okay, I want to make sure. Thank you.
And truth be told, you don't need a motion to have me prepare a draft anyway. So that motion is, I'll call it superfluous.
Okay.
I'll get it drafted before the next meeting.
Okay, great.
I just want to make sure that's. I haven't done the math. The next meeting is in December. I don't know if it's 62 days beyond or within 62 days of the date we close the hearing. It's got to be beyond. I assume, Mr. Appigan, would you waive the 62-day period?
We will waive it.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so 12/18 for them.
12/18 for me to for a decision.
Okay. Thank you.
Good
night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So good evening. I'm Joseph Turgeon. I'm the applicant's attorney here. This is. I just want to go through a brief history first and we'll answer whatever questions you have. On April 26th of 2024, we submitted a use variance application as well as two appeals of the building inspector's denial of special permit and site plan application. The use variances went to two things. One, the fact that the Revisional Institute is not accredited, and two, that there is no adult student housing in the Village of Pomona's code. On June 26, 2024, we were placed on the agenda and asked to introduce the application. On July 24th of 2024, we had our first public hearing. On September 25th, we had our second public hearing and we were asked at that time to provide information regarding our client's ability or inability to be accredited. On October 23rd, 2024, we provided a 7-page letter with a lot of attachments that included the trial testimony where the village's accrediting expert agreed essentially that Tartikoff could not be accredited because it is not in existence. We also provided the letter in response to your request by which the accreditation was denied. So you all should have that. I just want to make sure that that October 23rd letter and the attachments are part of the zoning board's records. I think this puts to rest the question of whether we can be or cannot be accredited. We cannot be accredited. And honestly, that's the reason why that specific use variance application was submitted. We are seeking a use variance for an unaccredited educational use. Even the Rockland County Department of Planning, which almost always issues denials or does not agree with applications, agreed essentially, I'll read from their letter dated August 15, 2024. This department is generally not in favor of granting use variances because of the land use precedent that can be set and the relatively high threshold of demonstrating that the applicable zoning regulations have caused an unnecessary hardship. However, the determining factor regarding the permissibility of proposed development is the lack of accreditation from the New York State Education Department or similar recognized accrediting agency on the part of the applicant. In all other respects, the proposed development appears to meet the definition of an educational institution, which is a use allowed by special permit. It is this department's opinion that the lack of accreditation in and of itself does not result in any significant land use impacts. And it essentially says they don't have an objection to our requested use variance. That's the Rockland County Planning Department. You don't very often see letters from the Rockland County Planning Department saying that. At this point, I think that the issue with respect to accreditation is resolved. And at the last meeting, there were no other open questions that were raised. And therefore, I really think that the ZBA should close the hearing and should vote. Thank you.
Other than the accreditation, were there any other reasons that you put on the record for not, let me rephrase it, other than the 2 years of operation, were there any other reasons stated why this comment could not be accredited?
There were a plethora of different reasons that were stated both by your expert and others. But the simple fact is that we are not in operation, and therefore we can't be accredited. So you can add more X, Y, and Z to it. It doesn't matter. It still comes out as a no. And all of those reasons are set forth in the materials that we provided to you.
Has your client done anything to prepare for operation, such as, like, do they have a curriculum?
again, I don't understand the basis for that question. We're here for a use variance to operate an unaccredited institution at the property. Yes, for sure, there is going to be a curriculum. The undertaking we're asking to do is not a very simple little undertaking. It's very significant, and my client takes this very seriously. But what we're here for today is for your vote, yes or no, as to whether or not you're going to enforce the Pomona statute that says you need to be accredited to have an educational institution in the Village of Pomona. That's all we're here for.
Okay, I hear you. Still, my question remains. You said in the future, so it's not done now?
I don't understand. Are you saying, do I have a curriculum that I could give you today and show it to you today? No, I do not.
Okay.
Do I believe that there is one floating around? For sure there is. Is it in any way relevant to this application? It is not. It's going to take...
We'll determine the relevancy, but...
okay.
Okay. So what else do you... And they also have any type of admission standards?
Okay. So, do we have admission standards? There are admission standards. Is there, again, something I can show to you? No, I can't delineate them. There's no purpose to delineating to you here now.
I'm looking at the letter. I'm seeing why. I'm trying to see what about your accreditation. It says over here, the first and foremost reason, the fact that you cannot admit students into your school without a test or other examination is not consistent with our general criteria. It doesn't even get to, I didn't even get to anything about you being in operation.
If you look at the second or third paragraph of the letter, I think it's the third paragraph, actually. And this is the letter from 2008, I think they're looking at, correct?
Yeah.
It states that you are not operational, and therefore you cannot be accredited. So what are we talking about?
Well, you also missed before it. It says, just besides the physical plant, let's hold off on that, faculty, curriculum, student services, record-keeping facilities. You have faculty?
You're telling me that there are more reasons. Just for a second.
Like, there's got to be a record here. There's a recording. Mr. Churkin, you keep jumping over the chair.
I apologize for that.
So
I'm
just
trying to answer his question.
It's okay. It's like, it's, you know, it can get a little heated, but it doesn't need to. Let's just have to do one at a time for the sake of a complete record. Okay? So the chairman's just going to speak. Let him get his full question out. And then he'll do the same for you, right?
Sure.
Go ahead. You have faculty.
Do we have faculty? No, we don't exist. Again, if we cannot be accredited for one reason, I shouldn't have to go through why for five reasons we can't be accredited. We can't be accredited.
Have you looked into arts since 2008? Have they changed any of their accreditation requirements?
We've looked into arts since 2008, and we still can't be accredited because we are not in existence. We confirm that with them. So in our letter to you, dated October 23rd, on page 6, we talk about what the argument that was made in the court. Pomona argued in the earlier proceeding that Tartikoff could make some changes that put it on the road to accreditation, which is essentially what you're asking. But the court found that Pomona's argument suffers from a fatal flaw, which is exactly what I've been saying all along today. Tartikoff must be operational before it can be accredited. But Tartikoff cannot become operational until it obtains a special use permit which requires accreditation. So we're going in a circle, is basically what the court was saying. And that's what we're doing here. You're asking me questions about what we have as if we are operational. And we can't have those things until we're operational. And my use variance application is for an unaccredited school. I'm asking you to assume I don't have the accreditation. Take that requirement out of your law. That's what the variance application is for. It's for nothing else.
So there's no, you haven't, I guess, have you ever gone back and asked for an exceptional, of some kind of conditional consideration?
It's not available. We are not operational. They can't come and see us in operation, therefore they can't accredit us.
No, I was asking if they had an exception to that.
There is no exception that we're aware of.
Wasn't there an issue with not having admission standards or exams?
Again, it's the same question. We can't be accredited because we don't exist.
But if you existed, would that not still be an issue?
No, because we couldn't get the accreditation anyway.
And you never looked into a temporary facility. Since 2008, you never looked into like a temporary place to rent until your building was ready?
So are you asking me if my client, a religious institution, is required to go outside of the village of Pomona, outside of the 100-plus acre property it owned, and rent and whatever expense it costs, a facility so that it can operate for a year or two and then get accredited and then come to you for approval? No, we have not done that. And I say that's completely burdensome to the practice of religion, which is exactly why the use variance standards are relaxed in the state of New York by the state of New York and also by federal law. And you can ask the attorney if I'm wrong on that.
I know the standards haven't changed since 2008.
It is still a requirement for you to be in existence, for you to be accredited. We are not in existence. We cannot be accredited by ARTS, whether it's in 2024 or 2008.
And do you have anything in writing from ARTS to that effect of what their current standards are, Mr. Sugar?
We don't.
You said earlier, I think you said that you had checked with them again, or did you make a formal inquiry?
I'm sorry to cut you off again, I keep doing that. We have made an inquiry. I am confident that the answer is the operational requirement is still in effect.
What about the other requirements?
What other requirements? I can't get accredited because I'm not in operation.
Yes. Well, when was the most recent inquiry?
Within a few months.
Did you get any writing back from them?
I don't think it was communications
or emails or anything to that effect?
I don't believe it was in writing. I'm telling you, we cannot get accredited because we're not in operation.
Just if I have it right, just so the record's clear. You don't have any writings, or you don't want to give the writings, or you're just saying, look, because you're saying, you, you, You're saying the board should take your word for it. That's what you're saying? I just want to be clear. I just don't understand it.
I think the board could probably go to Arts and ask what their admission standards are the same way we did. I'm sorry, their accrediting standards the same way we did. It is certain, 100% certain, that you cannot be accredited by Arts if you are not in existence. 100% certain.
Do they have like a handbook or written requirements there?
I believe there are written requirements that you could see, and it would clearly say you have to be in operation. I don't remember if it was for 1 year or 2 years, but you have to be in operation. Yeah, they have requirements.
Do you know what the other requirements are?
No. We can't be accredited.
Okay. I mean, are the same requirements in place now as were in place in January 2008?
I believe that almost all of the requirements from 2008 are still in place today. However, I am 100% certain that the requirement that you be in operation was in place in 2008 and is still in place today.
So you say almost all. Are there any requirements that you know of that aren't existing anymore?
There are no requirements that I specifically know of that existed in 2008 that don't exist today. The one thing I am 100% certain of is that you cannot be accredited if you are not in existence.
Is there any change in what you were proposing now versus what you were proposing when you made the inquiry back in 2008 that gave rise to this January 2008 letter? Is everything the same in your operation then as it is now?
Everything is exactly the same right now as it was in 2008 when they made their initial inquiry. I wasn't part of that in 2008. But everything in our operation is exactly the same.
Have you given any consideration to making any changes to comply with the other reasons for the denial or the advice that you couldn't be accredited other than the operational one?
No, because we can't get accredited no matter what we do because we're not in operation.
Said there is not a written out curriculum, but based on the letter here, there is a core mission statement, so to call it, of what Tartikov's scope of study will be, and that is halacha, yeah?
Yes, and that was put forth in very great detail in the federal lawsuit, which covered years.
Okay. So has the applicant broadened their core mission statement, or are they still going to focus only on that?
I'm going to say it in my terms that sure. I understand it. It is a program by which people study to become judges under halacha. It is a very rigorous, long program. It dwarfs what we do here in this country for like secular lawyers like me. And no, it has not changed.
Okay. As a follow-up to that, are there any existing Tartikov judges right now?
Are there any existing Tartikov judges? Let me answer that question.
Are there any courts?
The answer is no.
Are there any Tartikov based in existence currently?
Well, you're mixing apples and oranges. This is going to be a training program, basically a school, so that people can become judges. You're asking me if a religious court exists, and yeah, religious courts exist. And is there a religious court of Tartikoff? There very well may be, but that's apples and oranges from what we're trying to do here.
Okay, I just want to, because I jumped ahead a little bit, I want to go back to what I was just going to say. I just want to read into the record the last line over here of this January 9, 2008 letter. It says, while the program of law is of unquestionable value, it does not fit the scope of our accreditation activities. So let's just assume for a second that you guys had a physical plan, a faculty, a curriculum, of student services, record keeping, and were in existence for 2 years. Could you still be accredited based on your Common Core Talmudic studies?
I reject your question. You can't assume that we're in existence for 2 years when we're not in existence for 2 years. I can't tell you what ARPS would say if we were in existence, because it's creating something that doesn't exist.
Generally, lawyers deal in hypotheticals all day long. So
no, we deal in facts. We don't deal in hypotheticals. I'm not in law school.
Okay. So you would think, so okay, I'm just gonna still keep going. If you had everything, and the plan, and the curriculum, you think ARTS would approve you?
I don't know if ARTS would approve me or not. It's not a relevant question. They won't approve me now because I'm not in existence. That's a fact. I know that.
Where do we stand on the SECRE review?
There's no SECRE review.
Well, yeah. The environmental
review. Yeah, so SECRE, we don't have the part two of the EAF prepared. It didn't get to us from the planner. But that's where we stand. I think you'd otherwise be ready. I think a bigger question is, you know, moving forward, right? Where are we? Versus people from the public, you can still, you know, if you have more questions from the applicant, you can ask more questions of the applicant. If there's anybody from the public that would like to speak and be heard in the continued public hearing, you can do that. And then without the EAF part two, we can't deal with secret tonight. But either there's more that you're going to ask of the applicant and you want to hear more, in which case you can leave the public hearing open, or if you have everything that you think you would like, and you think the record's complete from the applicant's standpoint, from your standpoint, you can close the public hearing, and then you could, come back in December for, any CEQA or determinations, etc.
Is there anyone back there who's in the public, or
no? Those are all the people who I brought.
Okay.
So we can ask the applicant, have you submitted everything that you'd like the board to consider, or are there more things you'd like to submit to the board based upon the questioning or anything else?
Yeah, we've submitted everything that we intend to submit, we would like to submit, we think it's done, and also I think that the CEQA review was supposed to have been within 20 days of the last hearing, and I think we're probably 60 days now. So I think the public hearing should be closed and a vote should occur.
Well, I mean, certainly no requirement. You can close the public hearing, but there's no requirement to vote.
No, that's true. You have 60 days after right. You close the public hearing to vote. So but I think you should close the public hearing today because there's no reason to continue.
So if the board's okay, unless the board wants to request anything more, if the board's okay, you can make a motion to close the public hearing.
Can you just say who's voting, since I can't see, when you do it?
Real quick,
please. No, it's okay. They could just tell me. It's fine.
Okay.
Motion closed.
Okay. And who seconded?
Kevin, you try to interrupt that motion?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, can we do that without the seeker? Oh, yeah. Other reports that we need?
You could, yeah, you can close the public hearing without, yeah, and we can deal with seeker at the next meeting as necessary.
Okay. So, 1 second.
Okay. You second? Okay.
All in favor to close the public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Seeing no opposition, the motion to close the public hearing on the application for the Rabbinical College of Part of Public is approved.
Thank you.
Coming back, like you said, for the January
22nd.
Sorry. Okay. For both.
December 18th.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we. Okay.